Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, March 27th, 2019 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the acting zoning administrator, here with Ava Ater-Taylor, who's at the controls for the hearing today as the executive secretary. I'd like to begin with some general information. First, the order of presentation. The applicant and or owners will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. More on that in a second. The applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there is any public testimony in opposition, the applicant or owner will be allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public, and at the end of the item, may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement, or may indicate a potential decision, or may continue the item to a hearing at a later date. There's one item on the consent calendar today. Items that are on the consent calendar are considered routine, and if anyone would like to speak on one of the items, or the only item that there is, please step forward when the item is called. Otherwise, the variance that is being sought would be granted. There's general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda today. Now, the criteria for justifying a variance, Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in a practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final till a decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, it may take up to 2 months from the date of this hearing for the variance decision letter to be issued. If anyone would like a copy of that decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet on the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. Again, no decision is final until that decision letter is issued, and it is that decision letter which carries with it the ability to appeal to the Board of Appeals. And the decision can be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the issuance of the decision letter. For other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to discuss these items, we ask that that be done outside of the hearing room so as to avoid disturbing others. The next variance hearing is scheduled for April 24th, 2019, and audio recordings of these hearings going back to January 2011 are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. We have two kind of fairly routine items, one item for continuance and one for consent.
So item number one, case number 2018-008250VAR, 63 Rico Way. This is being continued to Wednesday, April 24, at the regularly scheduled variance hearing.
Is there any public comment on this continuance? And that's item number one for 63 Rico Way. Seeing no public comment, we'll continue that item 1 month to the next regular variance hearing. It'll be in this room on Wednesday, April 24th, 2019. And we can move on to our consent calendar.
Our consent item number, case number two, item number two, case number 2018-014111VAR, 54 to 56 Pearl Street, rear yard variance sought.
Is there any public comment on this item? That's item number two for 54 to 56 Pearl Street. If there's any public comment for this item, please step forward. Otherwise, the item will be granted. Seeing no public comment, we'll close the public hearing. Inclined to grant the requested variance for item 2, 54 to 56 Pearl. We can move on to our regular calendar.
Moving to our regular calendar, item number 3, case number 2018-014126VAR, 1119 to 1121 Stanion Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My house, which is two flats over a full garage, was built in 1909. My father and mother, together with my grandparents, bought the house in 1948. My grandparents lived downstairs, and we lived upstairs. I was born into the house in 1951 and grew up there, and I moved away when I turned 18. But my family always lived in the flats, and they were always occupied by family, never by renters. I moved back in 2003 to help with my mother, who was the sole survivor in her later years. In 2007, we put a foundation under the building, which included putting a foundation under the back porch, as it had previously been on piers and they were rotting. My mom died in April of 2016. She was 100 years old. Since I was already occupying 1119 Stanyan, and my brother, who was to inherit 50% of the building, didn't want ownership, he sold his interests to Vanessa Evers and Marcella Prewin, and we became TIC partners in 2017. We both gutted our units and totally rebuilt the interiors, incorporating what was once the back porch into the kitchen areas. Unfortunately, as we were replacing rotten material in the building with signs of water intrusion everywhere, we inadvertently replaced all the material in the back porch. The new materials were built on the footprint of the old back porch and was exactly like it was, but this constituted new construction because of all the new materials. In what we now know, encroached on the setback requirements, triggering the notice of violation on our permits. I should also say that the stairs were attached to the back porch, and as was the deck, and that's why those were also had to be replaced, but we haven't done that work yet. The old back porch had a vertical thin shiplap wall with no underlay and could not accept insulation, so we replaced it with more durable clapboard and studs large enough to be able to insulate the walls. There was also a deck installed in the 70s by my uncle, which was larger than the proposed new deck, but it was at garden level. The new deck will be at the 1119 level, the second story. Almost all the surrounding properties feature a second floor deck and some also a third story deck. The original plan was to put the stairway back exactly as it was, but since the notice of violation triggered the variance request and the firewall on the property line, it was decided that the plan before you was a much better solution and gave the upstairs unit a much better entrance into the garden and a small balcony. And it's imperative that they have some sort of access to the backyard, which is a shared part of our TIC agreement. And of course, it's also a safety issue for them. They should have a second way of egress, even though it's not required, for safety and also for the enjoyment of the backyard, they need access. Our neighbor to the south, who is most affected by this plan because of the required firewall on the property line, is very supportive of our efforts. He sees the firewall as a security feature for his parking lot. I would hope that you would approve our changes. Do you have any questions?
Thank you. It's just maybe two questions. So to confirm, the existing status is that the kind of pop out at the back has already been reconstructed because of the dry rot that was found, but the deck has not been reconstructed.
That's
that was just
correct.
Removed.
The deck and the stairs are not reconstructed.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment. Any public comment on item number three for 1119 to 1121 Stanyan Street? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance. You know, while it's always, you know, disappointing to have work that's done outside of the scope of permits, you know, I understand that it was unintentional and it was because of dry rot being found. You've gone through the proper process here to legalize the work, and through the course of this, I think while a firewall is required, and that will have additional impact on the adjacent property, the proposal that you have will seek to minimize that by how you've configured the stairs. It'll go a little bit deeper into the yard with the firewall, but it'll be lower than had it been just an exact replacement. And it does provide usable access to usable open space directly from the two main, from the two units on the property, directly from those levels, and also access to the rear yard. So be supportive of the variance. I understand the neighborhood notification has also been completed and no discretionary views were filed during the notification period. So close public hearing, inclined to grant the variance, and we can move on to item number four.
Moving to item number four, case number 2017-015120VAR, 1535 Pacific Avenue, exposure variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Mr. Sanchez, staff, I have your lovely picture of sunlight on our courtyard, and at question here is just simply a matter of dimension of 2 foot 1 inch that we're short in one direction in our courtyard. Our building is a zero lot line building, and it was historically two units of residential plus one unit of commercial. The unit of commercial was abandoned several years ago, and the building department and planning department granted us the expansion of our residential units, and which were then later condominiumized. So our lower level condominium extends all the way out to the rear property line in this bulk, which we now wish to separate from the front portion. It as part of its outside space would like to make use of a courtyard, which has a dimension in one direction of 7 foot 11 inches instead of the 10 feet that's required. But we are in excess by 14 square feet of the minimum required dimension. We also have a roof garden that is supposed to be built as part of our building permit. I have with me Tansy Robinson, who's my project manager, and she's available to answer any questions. There's not much that needs to be said except that it's just the space is already there, and we'd very much appreciate your consideration in allowing us to finish building out the space and converting it to three units.
Thank you. And it's my understanding from staff that the space is not eligible to be used as an ADU. Is
correct.
That correct?
And that is correct.
So you've exhausted that alternative. Okay, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Is there any public comment on item number four for 1535 Pacific Avenue? Again, item four, 1535 Pacific Avenue. Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, seeking to add an additional dwelling unit to the property. They've exhausted other means through the ADU program of allowing the unit, which would not allow it as proposed here because of certain rules related to ADUs. Supportive of the request, and we can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number five, case number 2018-001388VAR, 758, 768, and 778 Jamestown Avenue, lot size variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir. Sure.
Wonderful. All right. Good morning.
Can you use the other one?
Oh.
Well, I can turn that on.
Good morning, Acting Zoning Administrator Sanchez. My name is Jeremy Schaub of Schaubly Architects, representing the owners of 758 to 778 Jamestown Avenue. Subject site is a large vacant corner lot on the northern corner of Jamestown Avenue and Gilroy Street. It's zoned RH1 in the Bayview neighborhood. We're here today requesting a variance to subdivide the parcel into three lots for three new single-family dwellings. Jamestown Avenue is an 89-foot wide boulevard that leads to the former Candlestick Park. The Gilroy Street right-of-way is improved only with a staircase for most of our frontage due to the steep slope. Our neighborhood is zoned RH1 and RH2, but with widely varying lot sizes. Within one block of our lot, the areas range from 1,674 square feet up to 299,000 square feet across the road. We are also just one block east from the expansive 12,000-unit Candlestick Point development, as seen as rendered here. And the parking lot across Jamestown is also under redevelopment for 122 condos with proposed heights of 65 to 85 feet. Our project is scaled to transition between these two neighborhoods. Our proposed project creates three parcels that emulate the nearby 800, 806, and 810 Jamestown Avenue development pattern while acknowledging the future of the neighborhood. Due to our corner location, the required minimum lot size for the subdivision is 1,750 square feet. For our parcel, that would be 2.6 lots, not quite enough. We discussed this with the planning department during project review meeting in 2015 and were encouraged to pursue this variance under 121E2 to provide additional density. We are now proposing three slightly smaller lots as follows. Lot A on the corner would be 1,502 square feet. Lot B in the middle would be 1,585 square feet. And lot C would be 1,596 square feet. These are all within 86 to 91% of the lot area requirements. For a variance finding, under exceptional extraordinary condition, we argue that the subject site is an odd lot configuration with a shallow depth and a very steep grade. The development pattern in this neighborhood is also very unusual due to the proximity to Candlestick Point. And because of the upcoming changes to the neighborhood, we feel extra density is warranted given the nearby 12,000 homes currently in development. For literal enforcement, we acknowledge the site is RH1, so we are proposing single-family homes, but we feel smaller, more naturally affordable houses are better suited for the site. A fully code-compliant project would result in two 5,000-square-foot homes, but we're proposing buildings between 2,600 and 3,500 square feet. Variance is necessary for preservation and enjoyment of a property right. We argue the proposed three buildings more in keeping with the neighboring single-family buildings and aligns the subject property with other developments such as 800 to 810 Jamestown, one block away. Those lots are all about 1,600 square feet as well. The proposed density and height in this project is also far below that of nearby Candlestick Point. The variance is not detrimental to the public welfare or any other improvements in the vicinity because it's been designed to fit into the neighborhood. The variances only affect the subject properties while also shifting the mass away from our nearby neighbors. The volume of the overall building area is not changed at all. It's still under the code for required rear yard, and it's been designed with massing setbacks on the top levels. And then the granting of such variances in harmony with the master plan, according to Prop M. And in conclusion, our goal in providing these variances is to balance the lot area and rear yard requirements with large overall buildable area of an existing RH1 parcel. We're requesting this variance for the size of the new lots, but not the size of the buildings. The remainder of the project is fully code compliant. Slight increase in density from 2 to 3 dwellings will allow for slightly smaller and denser homes while not impacting the broader neighborhood. The Bayview is a district in transition. Major infrastructure projects and redevelopment projects are changing into modern residential neighborhoods, with neighborhoods serving commercial and cultural facilities. One new single-family dwelling will be constructed on each lot while not deviating from the allowable massing. We're set back from our neighbor on Jamestown, we're set back from our neighbor on Gilroy, and this variance is only to account for a 10 to 14% deficiency in the lot area size. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item number 5 for 758-768-778 Jamestown? Please step forward. Hello.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning, Administrator Sanchez. My name is Kimberly Brandon, and I live at 788 Jamestown, right next door to this site. I spoke to Mr. Schwab on May 29th, I think it was, and I told him that I was fully in support of this project, but the only deal breaker for me was if it was attached to my home. I bought this home 16 years ago because it was a standalone property. If you look at the other side, And this side, if you look at page 7 and you see the big greenhouse, and then you'll see that on each side, it's a standalone property. And he said that this was perfect timing because he was in the middle of redesigning the plan. So then I got a notice in October that the plan had been submitted, and I called the plan, the planning person, Linda, assigned to this project. We had an in-depth conversation about my concerns, and she sent me a copy of this plan and followed up with an email, and then I followed up with her reiterating my concerns about not being able to paint my house, be able to get any kind of access to my home on that side. And to date, I have not heard from anyone from the planning department regarding my concerns. I do want to say that when I spoke to Jeremy and I told him about the concerns of the lot not having been cleaned or secured in any way in 16 years, they immediately sent a crew to clean up. But now, again, it's overgrown with weeds, which is not your concern. That's my concern. But I am not opposing this project, but I do want to have access to be able to get to the side of my home. And I'm concerned with the noise levels. I'm concerned with the construction process and what's going to happen, how it's going to affect my home. So that's why I'm here. So if you were to continue this, I do want to let you know I will be out of the country on April 24th, but I would love to hear from someone at planning and from the architectural firm about how we can come together to make this possible, because I'm not opposing it. I just don't want it directly adjacent to my property.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment on this item number 5 for 758, 768, and 778 Jamestown? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Thank you again, Jeremy Schaub, Schaub Lee Architects. Yes, I've spoken with Kimberly before, and I think she has some valid concerns, and we did try and take some of those into account. If I can go through the floor plans real quick. So it's a 4-story building, officially 3 stories at the street. This is our first floor plan. Kimberly's house is on the left. You can see just the corner of it. So we would be abutting on this floor. And this is the second floor at grade. We have a large notch adjacent to her, but we do have a closet that's extending towards her property and abutting it. When we spoke with our planner and with Ardat, I was told that this was not a concern because it's RH1 zoning and not RH1D. I do know that obviously maintenance and upkeep of a property is a concern. So, you know, if it's beneficial, we'll certainly work with the neighbor on repainting her house before our construction starts, and work with you on the structural concerns, because given the slope, there's definitely going to be some excavation and some work needed. Going up to the third floor, we again have a closet that is abutting her, as well as bedrooms and kitchen area. And on our fourth floor, we are fully set back, perhaps best seen on this elevation. Again, Kimberly's house is on the left. As the building, her building is also 3 stories, but just 2 stories at the street. So we are, according to our RDAT approved design, we have 2 stories on the left, and then we add another story as we pull away from her building. So that's my rebuttal.
Thank you. And given the excavation, will you be underpinning the adjacent property?
Certainly, yes.
And so you would need their authorization to do
yep.
so, correct?
Yeah, we'll definitely be in touch.
And also, the Section 311 neighborhood notification has not yet been performed, so the neighbor would have the ability also to file a discretionary view?
Yes.
And there'd be 3 separate building permits that they could file a discretionary review on, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And it's a very small portion of the property that is abutting. I think it's a closet at the both of those above grade levels. So what is before me is the variance for lot size. You know, this is to allow 3 lots where otherwise 2 would only be allowed by the code. I do note that it is an RH1 district, which does not require the separation, Most lots in San Francisco do not require detachment. I mean, that's simply only the RH1D zoning district that requires that, and those are not very many in the city. So I think we're very well experienced in the city about building, building to building, lot line to lot line construction, and there's ways to make it work. There's certainly ways to mess it up, but there's ways to make it work. And I'm sure, with the experience that the project sponsor has here, it would be, you could paint it beforehand. You would properly flash it to preserve. I mean, on the alternative, if you do come to an agreement that you set it back, that's another option. Of course, when we do get these voids, we also get areas that are not very well maintained themselves. I mean, it's going to be open to the elements and may cause additional wear. So it's a balance there. But I think that's really something for you guys to work on through the process moving forward, because the variance has no bearing or no impact on that setback. So we're just looking simply at whether, it's appropriate to have three smaller lots. You could develop one large, probably 10,000 square foot home on this lot. This is a single family dwelling. And what you're seeking through the variance is not giving you any additional buildable area. So you could have the same envelope, the exact same project, whether it is one, two, or three dwelling units. So I think that is something that is part of my consideration. You're not gaming the system to gain additional developable area. Another thought, and I know you had part of the justification was that on the block down, there's a similar pattern. And I did quickly look at the record on that, and a variance was sought in the 60s to allow that, which the zoning administrator denied, but was overturned by the Board of Appeals. Also have some recollection of a variance that I denied in the last couple of years. I believe it was one of your projects as well that was overturned at the Board of Appeals. I think Oakdale was a different case than this, and so I am supportive of this variance application. Really, at the end of the day, you would have the same size development, whether it is one, two, or three units or lots. Would know that there is quite a bit more process to go forward so I think you can have further discussions with your neighbor and sense that they're supportive of the project. They just would like their concerns addressed, and there's I think different ways to address those concerns and having additional discussions. I will certainly be sure that someone from our department gives you a call back, Kimberly. And there's still plenty of process, as I noted. So we'll ensure that happens. But I'll close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, and ask that the parties continue to work together.
Moving to item number 6, case number 2017-009510 VAR, 1964 Union Street, rear yard modification variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes as well.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Sanchez. John Kevlin here on behalf of the project sponsor. Thank you for considering this variance. What we've got here is an existing mixed-use building in the Union Street NCD district, ground floor retail with two residential units above. As you will see on the first page of the plans, you've got a site plan there. And actually, yeah, great. You can bring it up. You'll see that the existing building here, 1964 Union Street, is actually has a short depth compared to the other buildings on the lot. And in addition to that, we've got neighbors that have a number of buildings all the way into the rear yard. And the project proposes two additional units to further densify the site. The appropriate location here looked to be what is the traditional rear yard area, but because of the existing vicinity and immediate neighbors, this was felt to be an appropriate location to place the new units. We've done it in a way that we've worked with staff to ensure that it minimizes any impacts on neighbors. Here is really where all of everything's going on. So we have set it back 7 feet from the rear property line. And we've also created a, uh, just over 20-foot separation between the existing building and the proposed building, maintaining the light angle access. We've set back the second floor of the building both at the rear and at the front. The large roof area at the rear is not going to be occupiable or roof deck, and that was as a result of conversations with the immediate neighbors who we have come to an agreement with, and they are supportive of this. You might be aware that the 30-day 311 period just expired yesterday, and as far as we hear this morning, there has not been any DRs, which we're happy to hear. There will be some modest-sized decks at the front of the new building to provide open space. Considering the need to densify the city, the ability to add units at this site, and the existing surrounding environment, this is pretty tastefully and designed in a modest addition that appears to fit well within the neighborhood. I'll mention one last thing. In this NCD, the rear yard is only required at the lowest level with a dwelling unit and above, so not necessarily at the ground level. So there is the potential to do a full floor on the ground for commercial use. I don't say that because we're proposing it. I just say it because in this district, it's kind of acknowledging that on the ground floor, full lot coverage is appropriate outside of the residential context. So just a further indication that this proposal here is consistent with both the zoning district and the immediate adjacent neighborhood. And I think with that covers it. We're here if you have any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to see you back,
yeah,
Mr. Kevland.
Appreciate it.
Is there any public comment on this item number 6 for 1964 Union Street? Seeing no public comment on item number 6, close the public hearing and inclined to grant the requested rear yard modification variance. Noting the it does meet the findings for the rear yard modification, which are separate and distinct from the findings of a variance, and actually much easier to meet the findings for the rear yard modification. Appreciate that the project sponsor has worked with the neighbors on the roof deck, and I don't see any reason to add an additional condition related to the roof deck. I think that is something that had been requested at one point by the neighbors. If there is an additional proposal in the future to add a roof deck, that would require appropriate process and review by the planning department, including notice to the adjacent tenants. So we can close the public hearing, decline to grant the requested rear yard mod, and move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 7, case number 2017-001891 VAR, 495 44th Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic.
Hello, hi, I'm Jerome Tobias with Herzog Tobias Architects. I'm representing the owners of 495 44th Avenue. We're requesting a variance for the rear yard setback. The site is exceptionally small at 40 feet wide and 64 feet deep. Looks like it was subdivided from a 96-foot deep lot. If you can see on the adjacent properties here, this is the property right there in the corner, and all the other ones already have kind of a deep rear yard, but there wasn't really enough room for this particular site to keep that or have the 16-foot rear yard required. We are proposing to have a second story built onto this house. The owners are starting a family, and they just need some extra bedrooms. Currently, we have a 2-bedroom, 1-bath at this location. And the proposal is adding 2 additional bedrooms on the top floor. For the proposal, we'll see that the 16-foot setback, if we were to do the second floor, is already pushing the envelope of the second floor in a lot that we wouldn't really have much of a second floor. So we are proposing to keeping it back to, we're not, The current rear yard is up along the property line along the garage, and then about 3'6" back on the first floor. So we're kind of lining up with that line in order to get the additional bedrooms. As far as the usable open space, the property already has been using kind of the side yard, which was fairly large already. It's about like 74% of what the lot size would be. The unit's not saying, or we're not trying to add like any extra units onto the space. It's still going to be a single family dwelling. The addition is in line with keeping with the overall characteristics of the space. They are already two-story buildings within that block. And it doesn't exceed the 35 feet from, so everything's in line with the master plan. We're requesting that just like an exception for that rear yard setback for the second floor in order to give this, allow for like a larger residential property to be on this small lot. Thank you.
Thank you. So the second floor addition is set back from the front building wall and from the front property line fairly substantially, I think about 10 feet from the front building wall, or maybe a little bit, 7 feet if you go to the stair. And was that a part of the request of the residential design team?
I think we wanted the outdoor deck already on there, and then the residential design team asked that we don't have it covered in order to keep a more normal roofline.
And then the additional bedrooms that are added on that second level, they don't have any windows to the west. And was that as a result of a discussion with that adjacent property owner?
Correct. The adjacent property owner, during the neighborhood notification meeting, the only thing that came up with the neighbors actually was the neighbor to the north. They were a little bit concerned about like the light blockage, but the owners talked with them and agreed that they would pay for a skylight.
Okay.
Where they were concerned, and so the neighbors were fine with the addition.
And you have windows in the bedroom that on that new second floor that face to the north, and that's on the property line, correct?
Correct.
So there's you'll be following appropriate building department requirements. Those will not be operable windows. They won't be the rescue windows, or you'll get that from the window that's facing the street, I'm
correct.
Presuming.
Yes.
Okay. And the neighbor to the north has no issue with the proposed property line windows?
No.
Okay. And the adjacent property to the north looks to be the same configuration as the subject property, and I'm assuming they were developed around the same time, but that adjacent property to the north has a much longer lot, so development similar to this would be code compliant on that lot, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right, we'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Number 7 for 495 44th Avenue. Any public comment on item 7, 495 44th Avenue? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing. Inclined to grant the requested variance. I think I would have a little bit of a challenge with it at first, but seeing the shallow depth of the lot and the substantial setbacks that are already featured in the driveway, also the pattern with the adjacent property, think that it's reasonable expansion to add additional habitable space to an otherwise small single-family dwelling. So close public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance. I think 311 notice has not yet been performed, but will be performed in the near future. Thank you.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2018-012331 VAR, 87 Manchester Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor.
Hi, my name is Kelly Melendez. I am here as the project sponsor representing the owners of 87 Manchester. This is a home that is located in the special use district of the Bernal Heights neighborhood. We are requesting to extend a one-story basement structure, living structure, out into the rear yard with a deck over it. This is an expansion which is allowed in the majority of San Francisco as an exception to the rear yard requirements. However, because it is in the special use district of the Bernal Heights area, that we are required to come before you to request a variance. This deck and expansion towards the rear yard is essentially sort of overcoming an underdeveloped lot, which is in relationship to its current neighbors. The neighbor uphill has the exact same thing, but a fair amount larger. It's a two-story interior space with a third-story deck over the top. And then our downhill neighbor has a two-story deck with no living space under it. We have opted to, we have very good relations with our neighbors. The uphill neighbor is currently 13 feet 2 inches beyond our rear property line. We are, not our property line, I'm sorry, our rear facade. We have we are offering to match their rear extension, and then that with our deck over living space. Then our deck and over living space is shallower than our downhill neighbor, who has just two decks into their rear yard. We have support of our neighbors. We have filed. We have released the 311 notice, as well as the variance poster has been up for the 30 days. We feel like it's a fairly modest request, and seeing that it is accepted in most of the other San Francisco neighborhoods, it seems reasonable in this situation. I have a picture here. As you can see, our uphill neighbor, actually you can't see our uphill neighbor. There's our uphill neighbor. Our uphill neighbor, oh, thank you. Also has what I was just describing, a two-story element with a deck over the top, which you can't really see. There's a deck over the top of this, and there's two stories of living. That is the 13 feet extension into the rear yard. This is our building. We have a very small access stair to the rear yard, and then this is our downhill neighbor over here with their two-story deck. So we do feel it is a very similar development to what is existing, and would like to request your approval.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item number 8 for 87 Manchester Street? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing. I do agree this is a sensitive addition. I think what sways me is the topography and how you've nested it against the taller adjacent property, and also, you know, even being able to add a second floor balcony that doesn't extend any further than that adjacent building, so that firewall will be visible to them for that adjacent building, and the apparent height of the firewall that will be required for the office area will be something similar to what we would see for a fence in a rear yard. So I think that I don't see a negative impact. Appreciate that you've worked with the neighbors to come up with this design, and would be inclined to grant the requested variance. So we can close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, and move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2014.1125 VAR, 4316 to 4320 Mission Street and number 2 Tingley Street, rear yard modification and obstructions, variances sought.
Hi, I'm Anne Frujon, I'm the architect, and I am here representing the client and the developer for this project. He owns the property at 2 Tingley Street. Its most notable thing is, well, it's a very odd lot, right? It's got that deep diagonal, so a little complicated to sort of be able to design a building on it. The owner wants to put some housing. We're looking at doing 9 units of housing. The most memorable thing about the site right now is the Joe's Burger sign, which everybody wants. So that will be torn down, and then we're going to be building this building, which basically is a pretty classical San Francisco building that wraps around, makes a nice corner at the corner of Mission and Tingley. And because of the tightness of the site, really, what's happened is we need really 2 variances. This is the final project more or less in a rendering form. We really wanted to bring a new, interesting urban building to the neighborhood. There is really nothing there. There's no condo building that's been built, I think, in the Excelsior in like 20 years or something like that. So this is one of the first buildings. So hopefully this will help rejuvenate the whole Mission Street, big retail presence at the corner, and then entrance to the building on the side off of Tingley. The variance really concerns two things. One of them is just the rear yard. It's too small to be able to do the building and exactly put in the common space as required. So we're asking to be able to get a variance for that. We are suggesting a roof deck to compensate for the loss of open space on the ground floor. And so that just shows that diagram. And then finally, because of the odd quality of the site and trying to sort of come up with something that can work architecturally in the really very strange geometries that happen on the corner, we are looking at a very small variance for kind of bay window overhangs because they don't quite meet the current bay window code. So we felt like being able to shape the building we did the way we did gives it a really nice presence on the street, achieves the kind of urban design guidelines that the city has, but doesn't quite fit the exact letter of the law. So we're here for those two items. The whole thing's been through neighborhood approval. We've gotten a lot of really good support, and also through the RDT. So, yeah.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on item number 9 for 4316 to 4320 Mission Street and number 2 Tingley Street?
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning. My yard touches the yard of this new this thing, and we have we've been there for more than 50 years, and I have a swimming pool in the backyard, and I am afraid that all the I want to see if I can get a guarantee that all the construction that's going to go on there, shaking of the ground, is not going to crack the pool, my pool. And it's a big pool, and you probably saw it on right, yeah. that little blue thing, and that's my concern. And then also all the debris and stuff from the construction, breaking the ground and all that, is all that stuff is going to go in the air and going to go into the pool. And I want some kind of guarantee that if the pool cracks, that they will be responsible for fixing it because of the ground, you know, shaking and all that. In the last earthquake that we had, it cracked, the pool cracked, and I had to get it fixed. So so I think that this project is going to be more, the ground will probably shake more than you know, a lot.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Which property is yours? Are you on
it's
Tingley?
The lot is 143.
143.
Yes.
All right, thank you. So is there any other public comment on this item number 9 again? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
So it is not going to be pile construction. It will be a mat slab. So that should really help because we're not going to be digging down really far and kind of shaking the ground. We're going to get a contractor who understands. We're very concerned about you and the neighbors not being impacted horribly by this building under construction. So we'll make sure to protect the site and everything that needs to be done anyway to meet the sort of standards of construction in San Francisco. But I think the mat foundations really mean that you're just basically kind of scraping the land and then pouring a foundation. You're not actually having to go in there and pile drive, which is really what you would be concerned about for the pool. So I think we'll be fine. We're pretty concerned about
excavation.
This.
Well, minimal excavation.
Yeah, limited excavation, exactly, okay. Absolutely. Okay. And so that's the idea.
Thank you. Sure. So with that, I'll close the public hearing. Appreciate the project sponsor is very experienced in the city and doing development, and I think you guys could meet and discuss and kind of, you know, ensure that there is no damage. It's not something that is really within the purview of the planning department. Those are more of civil matters. If something like that does occur, if damage does occur, but I am inclined to grant the requested rear yard modification and the permitted obstruction variance. It does meet the findings for the rear yard modification, which are different from those of the variance. It does meet the variance findings necessary for the permitted obstruction, which they're seeking to do to basically have more creativity on the bay windows than the code would allow. We have pending legislation that would allow for administrative review of these types of matters, which I think would be wonderful because I think our permitted obstructions requirements for the bay windows are a bit too prescriptive and don't give architects the full level of creativity I think that they deserve for such matters. But That is pending before the Board of Supervisors, and who knows when they will get to that. So with that, we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2018-006478 VAR, 1945 8th Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, 5 minutes.
Good morning, Administrator Sanchez. My name is Tristan Warren. I am the architect and project sponsor for 1945 8th Ave. And the subject property or the subject project is simply expanding the volume of the garage roof. And the reason we're here before you today is because the garage is sitting in the existing rear yard. There are a couple of factors that are unique to this lot. One is the lot shape. It sits on the corner of 8th Ave where 8th turns and there's a traffic island. So the front property line actually is a non-linear. It's curved. And then the back of the lot meets at a triangle. And the existing yard was built, the existing garage was built in the rear yard. A portion of it was, as far as we can tell, built with the existing house, and then it was modified sometime before 1938. So that garage is now an existing non-conforming structure in the rear yard, and it currently has a flat roof. The homeowner and I are here today to ask for a variance to allow us to create a pitched roof over the garage as opposed to the current flat roof. There are limited adverse effects given the location of the garage. The garage is at the very rear corner of the property. It's adjacent to J.P. Murphy Playground, but the adjacency is not at the same level. J.P. Murphy Playground is roughly 8 feet above grade for our garage at that location. So any modification to the roof is not going to affect sight lines from the playground because it is below, almost entirely below what would be the sight line for people in the playground. In terms of the only adjacent property, which is 1969 8th Ave, that project is to the south, so we won't be impacting any of its daylight or shading the property. And the sight lines from that area of that rear yard are already precluded by a structure on that property, which is adjacent to said garage and the main house. The scope of the project is simply to add a roughly 3 and 12, so great with thumb drives. Okay, we'll skip that. A roughly 3 and 12 roof. We have hipped it at the south side, which is adjacent to the abutting neighbor to again minimize any impact on their property. The sole goal of this new roof is to mitigate what's been an ongoing leaking of that flat roof, and so we're here to ask for something that we believe that is a substantial property right that's enjoyed by most of the folks in the neighborhood who don't have this unique condition where their garage is within their rear yard. Do you have anything to add, Joel?
No, thanks, Tristan. Hi, I'm the property owner. we've done our best to
close to the mic.
Thank you very much. We've done our best to minimize the pitch of the roof so that we can. It's a functional addition. We're not going to use the addition or the volume that's being created. The roof of the garage is not changing, so we're not even making use of the volume.
That's not our goal at all. It is merely a functional goal so that the roof drains. So we've reduced the pitch as much as possible to be functional, but not create any other unintended consequences to our neighbors. And Ed, our neighbor on the left there, is fine with the project. He's done work on his house. We've done a lot of work on our house. It's a very, we have a great relationship.
Is it a matter of just the roof doesn't drain quick enough when it's pouring? So
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My kitchen floods every year with a flat roof, so I understand.
It exactly. And obviously, the variance, it's not, as Tristan said, it's non-conforming today, so we're not making it any more non-conforming or any less non-conforming. It is just as it is today.
And there's an existing parapet around that, so the perceived volume isn't really going to be any more. It might actually be less because of the parapet that is there, as I understand it.
There's a parapet over a portion of that roof.
Okay.
The structure was constructed at two different times, and the parapet itself is over the portion that's closest to the house. So there is an area that's basically a flat roof over a portion of the garage that's closest to the property line. So the volume will increase a little bit, but we're not really, the ridge height shouldn't be, it will be within 6 inches of the height of the parapet currently.
Okay, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment. I don't think there will be any public comment on item number 10 for 1945 8th Avenue. Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance. Certainly understand the issue regarding drainage, and it is designed in a manner to be minimally obtrusive from what is there currently. Thank you.
Going to the last item of our agenda, item number 11, case number 2018-011423 VAR, 14 Phoenix Terrace, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor?
Hi, I'm Nathan with Timberbrook Construction. I represent the owners at 14 Phoenix Terrace. I'm here to ask for a variance for a rear spiral staircase. Right now, I can show you some pictures of how it's built now and how we're going to remove it. Right now, this is the non-conforming wood stairs going up from the back side that actually touched the back house. And this is the steps going up to the actual sunroom, coming up right here, coming up right there. So I'm here because it's in this rear setback. They are also requiring us to do a firewall, which we're hoping we don't have to do if there's another option, and that's right here. Just because of the height of it and the cost of building something like that. But if there was another option, and didn't know if that's through you guys. Every time I bring it up, no one can give us an answer. So mm-hmm. It's what buildings are requiring us to do this because of the spiral staircase.
Yeah, my understanding from building, and we did ask them about this, was that the firewall would be required. Is this a required second means of egress for that top level?
And it's existing, yeah. Yep.
And because the plans don't clearly show an existing stair at the rear, like I'm looking at the rear elevation of the existing, and it doesn't show, it shows.
It's right here. It's actually like pretty much a ladder when you look at it. This is from 19, I have the original permit too, from 1952 from the original owner, still the same owner their family.
Okay.
But right here, once you get to this landing, you're coming up right here. And that goes up to the sunroom right here.
Okay. Yeah. And that's on the opposite side from where the spiral is proposed, right?
Yeah, it would actually be, it comes up right here. You can see it drawn.
Or could you move it over? It's it's not showing on the overhead.
Yeah, and right now there's a set of steps. You can see that right here. We're moving all those steps.
We just got it. It's a can't.
Yeah. I'm sorry. There, right now there's a set of steps that are here that go up.
Okay.
And we're not opposed to doing like fire sprinklers on the spiral. It's powder coated steel.
Okay.
Any other options? And it is a huge expense, and any other options that we could look at, we'd be more than happy to.
So, and you've confirmed with building department that you do need this as a second means of egress?
I mean, cause yes. It was required.
Is it because of the size of the roof deck?
It's actually, the roof deck was a benefit, and we actually brought it back. We figured, well, if we have to do it, let's create it. And then that became an issue, so we actually brought the railing back to here.
Yeah, okay.
This entrance of Phoenix Terrace, which here's the front of the house, you would see it. You would see that railing.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming up. So still be lower than the house next to it, attached to it.
Okay, so the roof deck is new, but it's not what's requiring the stairs. The stairs, you need to replace the existing second means of egress.
Exactly.
And you're putting it here, and then you will have the deck there. Okay.
And actually, the first time I actually went down to building, we didn't have a roof deck. He made us call it that. And we're like, no, it's just an egress. And so we literally had it shorter. Okay. It was just the pathway to get to it. Yeah. And then it was like, okay, well, if we're going to make a roof deck, we're going to push it.
Okay.
And so that's where we actually pushed it out, then brought it back in.
Okay.
Yes.
And what's the feedback been from the adjacent property owner that would have that large firewall there? There's been discussions with them?
I haven't heard anything, nothing at all.
Do you know if the property owners reached out to them directly to show them plans? I'm assuming they have, but...
They should have, no, actually, no. I've sent everything out properly and haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
All right. Okay. I see that there's no public comment here. There's no one left in the room, so there'll be no public comment. I think I'm going to take the matter under advisement, and if you could send to our staff the, you said you had the permit from the 50s that had that kind of ship's ladder stair. If you could send that to our staff, that would be helpful. And then I was prepared to deny the request, just kind of given the potential impacts on the neighbor, but kind of, and the plans didn't clearly show, and it wasn't explained to me very clearly that this was an existing second means of egress that was being replaced. So I'd just like to kind of get that documented before rendering a final decision. So
okay.
If you could have any communication that you have with DBI about this being a required second means of egress, if you could please pass that on to staff, as well as the permit from the 50s that showed the permit for the existing stair configuration would be great. Because it's one of the things, is just it's not clearly on the existing plans. It shows on the floor plans somewhat, but not on the elevations. And any other, if you maybe take a, we'll go from there. Just submit that material, the permit, and any documents that you have saying this is a required second means of egress. That'd be helpful for us.
There's no documents. It's just when I went into the original set of prints, I just went off his list.
Okay.
And I actually have the counter person at building that helped me. Sylvia Menez, who has been helping me along with this process, second person, goes in stages. She has all the copies of these permits.
Okay.
The original ones.
Okay.
But I can send them to you again, but she should have them.
If she's got them, okay. I'll get them from her.
And this one is actually dated 1952, and that's the addition. But prior to that, the back of the house was a deck. They pulled a permit to convert that to a living quarters. Then they added the sunroom on top, and it's been permitted all along. And repairs, I sent her also, the copies of show repairs over the years of it all permitted.
Okay, yeah. That's good. All right, I will confirm with her when we get back to the office.
Okay,
Thank you.
The final item. This item is closed. Public hearing is closed. Taken under advisement. There are no further items on the agenda. I see no general public comment, so we will close this hearing. We will adjourn again with Zoning Administrator Corey Teague on April 24th, 2019. Thank you.